movies. I love spy thrillers, as long as they're decent and upright and they keep the language where it needs to be. I'm intrigued by secret agents and spying as far as movies and television and books. Some of the heroes of the television days, some of you might remember, was Simon Templar, or he's better also known as the Saint. How about one of my favorites, James Bond? And nobody that hears that name cannot forget the numbers that go with him, 007. Then I think more recently maybe of John Steed and Emma Peel, and they were the original Avengers. Then I think about the secret agent man. Remember him, James West? And of course, how about this from yesteryear, the man from UNCLE. And so the whole concept of spying and secret agents, that concept was glamorized and sensationalized as only the entertainment industry can do. And they did it for us. And a lot of it was taken from maybe live history and actual history and events that have taken place. But the thing was, they did glamorize it and they did sensationalize it as TV could only do. But when it comes to reality, as usually is the case, things are a lot different. So here in this passage we're going to read in just a moment or two, we find a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph of Arimathea was an undercover Christian. We might even say a secret agent for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a secret agent in the army of God, but his behavior is certainly not something that you and I would want to copy today. So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about Joseph of Arimathea and the idea about being a secret disciple or an undercover Christian. So let's read here. And begin reading in Mark chapter 15, begin reading first of all in verse 42 through verse number 47, then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of it, the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid." Let's pray. And I want us to think on this thought of an undercover Christianity. So, Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. We're thankful, Father, for this man, Joseph of Arimathea, and what he did with the body of our Lord and Savior. Father, even though he was an undercover agent for the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, that we would learn from his example, Father, and we would not be an undercover agent or a secret agent for God, but we would be bold in our doings and bold in our sayings and bold in our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you'll speak to hearts and change our lives, Lord, that we might be a better example than Joseph of Arimathea. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Notice first of all his description. In verse 43 it says that Joseph of Arimathea was from the place of Arimathea. Arimathea was a small city about 20 miles from Jerusalem. And more than likely Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man that was from Arimathea but now lives in Jerusalem. And at some point after his arrival in Jerusalem, he purchased a burial tomb for himself and his family there. So he was from the city of Arimathea. But then notice in verse number 43, we find that he was an honorable counselor as well. And that means that Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin or a member of the religious council. And that word honorable translates this way, a prominent counselor. So he wasn't just an average member of the Sanhedrin. He was an honorable one. He's a prominent one. He was a part of that Sanhedrin. And if you think about him alongside of Nicodemus, they had apparently at some point in their life had come to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And they believed that Jesus was sent from God and he was the Messiah. And we find that out in verse 43, the last part of the verse, the Bible says, they waited for the kingdom of God. But his belief really stopped what he was doing by being an outward disciple for fear of the Jews. So you think about it, although he really didn't consent to the actions of the rest of the council, he didn't find the courage to stand up against the rest. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter number 23. Turn to Luke chapter number 23. So although he didn't agree with what they were doing to Jesus, he really didn't find the courage to stand up against the rest of them. Look in Luke 23 and verse number 51. Notice what the Bible says about Joseph of Arimathea in Luke 23 and verse 51. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. So, although he wasn't bold and standing up and making a big show of things, the Bible does record that he did not consent to what they were doing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was from Arimathea. He was an honorable counselor, a prominent counselor, a member of the Sanhedrin. But then notice in verse 23 of Luke, verse 50 of Luke 23, we find the Bible gives another description of Joseph of Arimathea. And notice what it says in verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. This makes reference to the character of Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible said he was a righteous and he was a fair person in his dealings. So typically he was not a typical member of the Sanhedrin or that high and holy religious council for the Jewish nations. Again, we find he wasn't consenting what the rest of the council had done towards Jesus, but he remained quiet through all their deliberations because he feared what the Jews may think. And because of this fear of the others, he was a secret disciple. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you in John 19 and verse 38. The Bible said that after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. As I thought about then, here we have a man who was a member of the religious council, the Sanhedrin. He was a prominent man, an honorable man, a just man. He was fair in dealings with people and fair in dealing with the law. But what a great tragedy it was. The man of obvious influence was afraid to let anyone know about the faith and trust that he put in that Messiah, Jesus the Christ. You see, Joseph is the man who gave Jesus a tomb when he was dead, but was silent when he was alive. And a lot of people act that way in their Christian walk. After something happens, they speak out boldly, but they don't speak about it in the time when God pricks their heart. Well, we see the description of this undercover agent or the secret agent of the Lord. But then notice number two, the fact of secret discipleship. The fact of secret discipleship. You know, some don't want others to know that they are saved. I've known a lot of people, and I witnessed to a lot of people, particularly in settings in my former job in the United States Air Force. We'd be in a maintenance truck driving around the flight line, and God would open up a door of opportunity maybe to me to speak to someone, and they would say, well, talk to me later after we get out of the truck. Why is that? Well, come to find out, they were saved, and they were born again, but they didn't want other people to know that they were saved. Joseph was not the only one in the whole world that was like this. Think about this person. How about a Nicodemus? Nicodemus was another secret disciple. In John 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says this. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So we know that Nicodemus, we believe, came to know Christ in a real and personal way. But then I think about someone else who denied the Lord in a very famous denial. and that was the man by the name of Peter. He was afraid to publicly identify with Christ and denied him three times. Not just once, not just twice, but three times he denied the Lord. And that's even after the Lord told him that he was going to deny the Lord. And he basically said, I will not deny you even if it comes to my death. I think everyone at one time or another has been a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think in John 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, howbeit no man spake of him for fear of the Jews. Now, we don't necessarily fear the Jews, but we fear man. And there has been times in my Christian walk, particularly in the early part of my walk with Jesus Christ, that I was afraid of what others would think. I was afraid what others would think about me and about who I am and what I was doing. And I was afraid, and so I didn't always open my mouth. And I very shamefully was a secret disciple. Let me ask you, how about you? Are you a secret disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or perhaps there's been some point in your life when you have been a secret disciple but no longer are. I think there's a couple of reasons why people become a secret disciple for Christ. I think, first of all, we already talked about Joseph of Arimathea, and his reason was for fear. The Bible said he feared the Jews. But I think there's another reason for those that know Christ as their Savior that are become a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ or a secret agent for God. And quite simply, it's a three-letter word. It's entitled this, sin. It's sin. After Jesus had appeared to his disciples in his resurrection body, Peter told the rest of the disciples in John 21 in verse number 3, he said that he was going fishing. He said, I go fishing. Not that he was going fishing to relax. A lot of people go fishing to relax. I'm not of that persuasion. You know, I've said it before that when I go fishing, which is not very often, it's not very relaxing to me. I'll go with you fishing if you have a chair and I can sit by the bank and read a nice book and we can talk while you fish. That's relaxing, but fishing is not very relaxing to me. So Peter was saying, I go a fishing. He wasn't saying, boy, it's been pretty stressful around Jerusalem, so let's get out to the Sea of Galilee. We're going to be doing some fishing. What he was really saying this, he said, I'm done with being a disciple. I'm ready to go back to my old job. I'm ready to go back to my old way of life. He said, I want to go back and be a fisherman like I was before I even met the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times when Christians sin, they become discouraged. And after they become discouraged, they quit living for the Lord. And they make up this excuse, well, why should I keep serving God? Every time I do, I do this sin and I fall and I stumble and I go back. And so what's the even use of even trying anymore? And many times when we're discouraged, we quit living for the Lord and we allow that sin to discourage us. But here's the good news. If we confess that sin, He, our Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's as if we have never sin. If you truly repent of your sin, it's as if you never have sinned. And so oftentimes we allow our flesh to beat us down and say, look at how terrible you are. Look at how rotten you are. You call yourself a disciple for Christ. Well, it's a good thing you're a secret disciple because look what you just did. And we keep forgetting that His mercy endures forever and He loves us and cares for us and will forgive us for our sin. So oftentimes, in effect, we become an undercover Christian. That's what Peter was saying. He wasn't literally denying the Lord. He just said, look, and I'm moving on. I'm moving on from being a disciple to an undercover Christian. I'm going back to my old ways. Remember, he had sinned by denying the Lord. No doubt that was weighing upon his heart. And no doubt that's why, in a couple chapters prior to this, we find the Lord telling his disciples, you go to Galilee and wait for me. And then they were reminded once again from Mary at the tomb on Resurrection Day, tell the disciples to get to Galilee and I will meet with them there. So we find that Peter used to serve God, but not was serving God any longer. So I think we have the reason number one is fear, like Joseph of Arimathea. Then we have the reason number two, that we become undercover Christian or undercover disciple or a secret agent for God, is for sin. But then I think there's another way, is another reason why, and that is maybe people become a secret disciple because they misunderstand the Word of God. You know, there are some people who think that their relationship with God is supposed to be private. I heard people say that. Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about your religion. Don't tell me about Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I know He died for me, and my religion is private. And then first of all, I begin to question them, really, if they really have trusted Christ, because someone who has trusted Christ really doesn't use that term religion unless it's in a derogatory manner. But I do realize that sometimes the attitude is just a cover-up to keep people from facing the truth, that they do not want to go tell other people about the Lord. But it is possible. And I did have known some people through the years of ministering, through the years of preaching and teaching, there's some people that simply misunderstand the truth, that God wants us to declare our faith and not keep it a secret. They never had a good understanding of this matter. The churches that they attend didn't really teach about soul winning, teach about discipleship, and so really they just thought it was a private matter that it should be. You know, God's told us really not to hide our light under a bushel, but we're to put it on a candlestick that it might shine forth for all to see, to give Him honor and glory. And as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be involved as members of a good, local, independent, fundamental Baptist church that preaches and teaches the Bible, and that is where God's work gets done here on this earth. Well, I think thirdly, and then we'll be done, notice the sorrow of secret discipleship. The sorrow of secret discipleship. I think, first of all, the sorrow of wasted time. Think about this for just a few moments. Joseph waited until Jesus was dead before he did anything for Him for the kingdom of God. Think about it. What could he have done if he would have spoke up in the Sanhedrin? Perhaps that he could have convinced the rest of the Sanhedrin that Jesus Christ truly was the Messiah. I don't know if that would to be true or not, but I do know this. We don't know because he never really spoke up and spoke his mind. Joseph waited till Jesus was dead before he did anything else for the kingdom of God. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about this illustration. You know, my father, before he passed away, he had cancer. And he told us this, and he just joking. He had a slight sense of humor, my dad did, for a Pennsylvania man. Pennsylvania men really aren't known that well for having a good jovial spirit, just the way that they are. That's that Pennsylvania Dutch, I think, just sticks inside of them. But he told me this. He said, if you're going to give me flowers, send me flowers before I die so I can enjoy them. Well, I wasn't much of a flower sender. I did on his birthday or some other occasion. But you know what? I took my dad out a lot and provided him gift cards to his favorite restaurant, Olive Garden. Because you know what? That's the good advice. Listen, don't wait till your loved one passes away and send a big grand bouquet of flowers. Send it to her while she's alive and just tell her that you love her and you're praying for her. Well, we found it was a sorrow of wasted time. Ben Franklin said this, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made out of." Boy, how true is that statement? Boy, Ben Franklin, he really was a wise man. Well, we have the sorrow of wasted time for our secret disciple, but then notice we have the sorrow of abnormal Christianity. You see, secret disciples are like football players who go into the locker room but never come out of the locker room to go onto the field. Secret disciples are like boxers who who go into the stadium and get all dressed and they do all their workout routines, but they won't let the trainer put the boxing gloves on them so they can enter into the ring for the fight. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, so when he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Boy, have you been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? Have you been blood bought by a wonderful Savior, Jesus the Christ? If you have, the psalmist writes in Psalm 107 and verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We have the sorrow of secret discipleship and our wasted time and our abnormal Christianity, but then notice this, we have the sorrow in displeasing our God. Displeasing our God. You know, the Bible was filled with many, many, many commendations of God for those that faithfully served him. The Bible was replete with that. God giving props to people that faithfully served him. But there's not one commendation to be found for those who remain an undercover Christian. Not one person who stayed an undercover Christian gets a prop from God in the Bible. Not one. I can't find one anywhere. To be a Christian to keep it secret doesn't please God. So if you say you're a Christian and you're a secret disciple or a secret agent for God, guess what? You are not only displeasing to God, but you're being disobedient to God's will that we tell other people about what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross. If you find yourself this way tonight, guess what? It doesn't have to stay that way because Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, eventually the Bible says, came openly during the day and boldly begged for the body of Jesus Christ. Peter came back from that fishing trip and openly proclaimed Jesus Christ. Multitudes were saved on the day of Pentecost. All the disciples became bold witnesses for Christ, and the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Let me ask you this question. What about you tonight? Are you a secret disciple or are you a bold agent for the Lord Jesus Christ? As I close tonight, two thoughts. First of all, are you a Christian? Has there been a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? If not, then you are not an agent for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not a secret agent for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I become one? You must believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again on the third day for your salvation. And you trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And forgiveness is available to you tonight if you'll come to him by faith and repenting of your sinfulness. And for those who are saved, listening to this passage and this sermon this evening, let me ask you this question. Are you an undercover Christian? Do you keep it secret of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you afraid perhaps of what others might say or what they might do? Maybe you have become discouraged and you just quit serving God. Why not determine today to come out of hiding and do something today for the Lord Jesus Christ? God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ do not need any Christians that are hidden from the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. He desires each and every one of us to be a discovered Christian, a known Christian. So I wonder, what has God spoken to your heart about this evening? Let's pray.